This slide is a little different than what it says in the book. I think the book says bed bug control. The reason I have the insignia up there, if you'll notice, there's no Air Force insignia. Thank you. And that is because before it was the Army Air Corps, and so all the flyers were in the Army at that point. The USDA was extremely important in the war. And in fact, because of the Orlando Laboratory and their work at DDT, if it hadn't been for them, most of you would be speaking German or Japanese. So they are an important group. Let's see. Okay. In 1940, the Army Surgeon General realized that the U.S. could be drawn into a world conflict and began to organize the medical department to meet a contingency. The new preventive medicine service included a malaria control branch. Sometime in 1941, someone in the government decided that we might need entomologists to control disease-carrying insects at training camps and appointed Dr. George Bradley of the USDA and told him to employ and train 6 entomologists. Dr. Bradley, by the way, I think was one of the entomologists that was in World War I. Dr. Bradley was then transferred to the U.S. Public Health Service and hired 6 young entomologists, including T.E. McNeil as his assistant. For those of you who use mosquitoes in Southeast U.S., you remember the manual was King Bradley McNeil. So. Anyway, and the group was then assigned to work at the USDA lab in New Smyrna Beach. They worked intensively on mosquito taxonomy, biology, and control. On December 8, 1941, Dr. Bradley told the group, "We now work on malaria." The new name for the group was Malaria Control in War Areas, MCWA. And their job was to control mosquitoes within a one-mile perimeter of military establishments. After the war, MCWA became a CDC. That's one of my claim to fame. I was one of the first members of CDC. Dr. Bradley was commissioned the full colonel in the Public Health Service. Stan Freeborn joined the group also as a colonel. Of the original 6, 3 of us were commissioned in the Public Health Service as first lieutenants. At that time, we wore Army uniforms. At the request of the colonel, head of the Sanitary Corps, I resigned from the Public Health Service and accepted an Army commission. The War Department, after World War I, provided for the commission of entomologists as organized reserve Sanitary Corps officers. Entomologists were members of the Sanitary Corps, which had been established in 1917 and became the Medical Service Corps in 1947. The entomologists were ordered to active duty in 1941 and were assigned to military installations in the South where malaria was a potential hazard to troops. In 1943, there were 723 entomologists in the military. The Army commissioned 240 and the Navy 118. Most of the newly commissioned entomologists were eventually assigned to overseas theaters, the South Pacific for malaria control and the European Theater for typhus control. This picture is one of the malaria survey detachments doing malaria control in the South Pacific. I think it's New Guinea. And this was a soldier doing typhus control in Europe. And this is another malaria survey detachment. We will come to that later. The Army Medical Department organized malaria survey detachments consisting of an entomologist, a parasitologist, and 11 enlisted men. The malaria control detachments consisted of a sanitary engineer and 11 enlisted men. As of February 1944, there were 35 malaria survey detachments and 65 malaria control detachments. Though there were medical units, some were armed, Half of my unit, the 609th Malaria Survey Detachment, were issued carbines. The rest of us used other weapons, as you can see. But these were known as Gerberg's guerrillas, so. In 1941, the Naval Medical Department established the Hospital Volunteer Service Group, HVS, and two Navy entomologists were commissioned, Lieutenant Bill Lawler and Lieutenant Paul Woke. Ensign Ken Knight was the first naval entomologist to work in a combat zone. He was sent to an island in New Hebrides where the Marines were being devastated by malaria. Time out for a drink. Thank you. Field laboratory teams were developed to fight malaria and were designated Navy Epidemiology Units. In 1944, the Division of Preventive Medicine was responsible for the guidance of 22 of these units. Entomologists in World War II served not only in the South Pacific, but China-Burma, India area, North Africa, the Caribbean, Central America, and the European theater. Two entomologists lost their lives in the war. One was Lieutenant Bill Gordon, who was killed by mortar fire in Los Negros. Bill happened to be a personal friend of mine, schoolmate, and he wanted to go ashore in one of the first landings, which he did, and unfortunately one of our mortar shells landed in his foxhole with his corpsman, so that ended that. And Lieutenant John Maple died in an airplane crash while directing aerial spray operations in Okinawa in April of 1945. Following World War II, only a handful of entomologists remained on active duty, with most officers reverting to an inactive status. The HVS section disappeared at this time and the Medical Service Corps came into being. The Air Force was part of the Army until 1947, when it was established as a separate military service. During the war, the military had a total of 771 special trained personnel combating malaria, typhus, tsutsugamushi fever, and other arthropod-borne diseases. Obviously, malaria was one of the most important diseases that the military entomologists had to control. General MacArthur said, "It's going to be a long war. For every division I have fighting the enemy, I must count on the 2nd Division in the hospital with malaria, and a 3rd division convalescing from this debilitating disease." In addition to combating malaria and other arthropod diseases, we also had a domestic problem with an insect that caused a great morale problem, the bedbug. As a brand new second lieutenant, I was given orders to report to Camp Lee in Petersburg, Virginia. The camp surgeon said to me, "The bedbug situation was so bad that a congressional investigation was being organized. Your first assignment is to clean up the problem. Consult with the camp engineer and work it out." First, I wanted to see what was being done. All bedding was being placed in a 1941 semi-mobile sterilization unit. Camp Lee was a quartermaster camp, so they had all sorts of equipment there. The bed springs were then dipped in a vat of some insecticide. And while this was going on, the barracks were inspected. And the web, well, this is before its inspection. The spraying with a hand sprayer was not very efficient. This is before DDT, it was a pyrethrum spray. The sterilization unit was an officer and four men. And while this was going on, barracks were inspected. The web equipment, knapsacks, belts, etc. were examined and found to be heavily infested with bedbugs, providing for a quick reinfestation of the beds. Spraying the walls with hand sprayers using pyrethrum spray was not very efficient. Those are some of the stains on the bed. And you can see the bed bugs in the web equipment here. And so actually, the sterilization unit really was very ineffective. It was decided that fumigation would be necessary. Before fumigation was approved, the building was inspected by the representatives of the camp surgeon's office in order to determine the abundance of bed bugs and whether local control measures would prove effective. By the way, when I came to Camp Lee, I'd never seen a live bed bug before. The only one I ever saw was on a slide. Let me go back to that one. After a building has been approved for fumigation, it is made airtight by wedging the windows shut and sealing the louvers with craft paper or roofing paper. When everything was in readiness, the officers then inspect the building to make sure no one had remained inside. A guard was placed outside at the door to ensure that no one enters during the inspection. The gas was spread by two men. Now this picture is a little off because you got two men opening cans on the same floor, and actually there was one man on this floor and one man on the second floor. The gas was spread by two men. One begins on the top floor and works away from the concentration of gas. An officer supervises the work. The can of the Zyklon discoid is opened with a special can opener, and the discoids, which are about the size of a beer coaster, were flipped out. Discoids were soaked in hydrocyanic acid gas. When all the discoids are flipped out, the enlisted man goes downstairs, followed by the officer. The same procedure is followed downstairs. The two enlisted men, followed by the officer, leave the building. The door is barred, and warning signs are posted. An armed guard is posted. No one is allowed to enter the building. This is important. I was a second Louis then, and some major came up and said he wanted to go in the building, and I told him he couldn't do it, and he got quite upset that I would tell him that. I could have let him go in. We'd have one. After 24 hours or more, the doors are open, and soon afterwards the windows are open. Before the men are allowed to return to the building, the area is tested with a methyl orange paper to detect whether the HCN is present in a dangerous concentration, and thousands of bed bugs and cockroaches and everything else was found. A total of 700 buildings were fumigated and the problem was solved. This was before DDT, which was quite successful in controlling bed bugs after it came in use. The cracks in the wooden bedsteads provided excellent breeding and resting places for bed bugs, so it was found advisable to replace the wood on the bedsteads with other forms of double-decker bedsteads. So here we removed the wooden portion here and managed to do the same thing, and here we were examining and showing how to do it. This, by the way, was Captain Towns. Yeah, he was a sanitary engineer from South or North Dakota, I don't remember. But he had been in, both of us had been in the public health service before being in the Army, and both of us got reduced in rank by one. So there's a long story. Someone buys me a beer, I'll tell them about it.
Is that you on the right, Gene?
Yes, it is. That's a young entomologist. Right, 1943-44, man, how many years ago is that? There's another example of how you can do it. And the barracks looked nice and neat then. And then we built something or designed something so they could hang their web equipment, and so it wasn't close to the bed, so if it was infested, it didn't get onto the bed right away. And then posters were helpful in pointing out methods of detection and eradication. And this was another way that entomologists served in World War II. Thank you, and I'll...